Recently, veteran journalist Bob Knight wrote an interesting article regarding the issue of cancel culture, and the article is called Making Dissent Illegitimate. We're going to talk about that right now in this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Bob, we welcome you to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Jerry. Always good to be talking with you.
Sure. Now, the founders of America intended a situation where, I mean, they even said in the First Amendment that there should be no abridging of free speech on the part of Congress. And would you say, in effect, that cancel culture essentially abridges free speech?
Well, it does. And of course, the First Amendment is now enforced way beyond Congress, thanks to the 14th Amendment, which applies it to the states. But it's also been upheld in the courts as a fundamental American right. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, they're all there in the First Amendment. And this current cancel culture doesn't care. They're interested in stamping out any views that they don't like. Particularly ones involving sexual issues, COVID-19, voting irregularities or vote fraud. There's a handful of topics that they just will not permit any dissent on.
January 6th, maybe something like
yeah.
that. Yeah. So listen, you used to work for Gary Bauer of the, he was the president of Family Research Council, and he has often made a statement that I think is so profound. He says the left doesn't want to win the debate. The left wants to cancel the debate. In effect, that's what making dissent illegitimate is all about, is canceling the debate. So we only hear the one side, and then we assume that's the truth.
That's right. It's the most effective tactic. You don't even have to argue with your opponent. You just have to silence him. And the way they silence usually is by altering language. They dream up terms, and if you use something that's real, like a pronoun that actually matches the biology of the person you're talking about, they say, oh, we can't even talk. I mean, you've now overstepped. You're a hater. You're a bigot. We can't talk on the same plane. And they do that on so many topics now. They just say I think the phrase they use is misinformation. They like to use that all the time. In fact, they used it in connection with the 2016 election, charging that President Trump was in cahoots with the Russians in providing misinformation. And of course, it's just the opposite. It turns out it was Hillary Clinton's people who were caught, and it's now being revealed by the John Durham investigation that it was the Democrats who actually peddled the notion that the Russians were colluding with Donald Trump. And they now, even more alarming, it appears that they were spying on President Trump before he became president, and even after. The spying went on into the executive office of the president. This is just starting to come out now, and the media are trying to ignore it. They are downplaying it. By the way, Jerry, that's another great way to censor information is just by omission. You're biased by omission. The mainstream media ignore this bombshell that John Durham dropped a few days ago. And then the next best thing they can do to ignoring it is to downplay it and say there's nothing new here, folks. Durham's reported things. This is just a little more information. And that's what the Washington Post did.
Wow.
They buried the story in A9. That's 9 pages into the front section. And then they just said it just adds to previously reported information that John Durham had released. The message is there's nothing to see here, folks.
Just move on. So listen, for those who may not have heard, how is this story about Hillary Clinton, these things that John Durham and his investigation have uncovered, how is it likened unto Watergate? I mean, some of the conservative commentators are saying this is worse than Watergate, but in a nutshell, what is this all about?
Okay, this is about a high-tech company hired by Democratic operatives close to Hillary Clinton. Mining information out of Trump Tower, where Donald Trump lives, his his business offices, and then the most shocking of all was traffic in and out of the executive office of the President of the United States, and that was in 2017 after Donald Trump took office. Watergate was about a burglary of Democratic National Committee headquarters in Washington, D.C. at the Watergate Hotel. The reason Richard Nixon was forced to resign in 1974 was because not because he ordered the burglary. There's been no evidence or any indication that he even knew about it,
right,
but that he tried to cover for people he considered on his team. So, but he had the relentless press on his tail, unlike today's press, today's Washington Post, which is quickly buries any stories that put Democrats in a bad light. It's just the opposite. There have been any number of scandals that could have been Watergate level, but they have been buried time after time by the Democrat-owned press. And I include the New York Times, the major networks, CNN, and of course, the Washington Post, which I call the Democratic National Committee's newsletter.
You know, it's interesting, though. This just shows you, in effect, this story shows you how important what you do and what the American Family Association does and what D. James Kennedy Ministries does to get the truth, to get the other side out there so people can even hear the other side. It's amazing, this battle that we're in, but it seems as like half the problems we're fighting with get back to the media and their bias against Christianity and against conservative values.
Yeah, the media are openly hostile to Christians and biblical values. There's no question about it. They cast Christians in a bad light. They cast biblical values as a form of bigotry actionable under the law. And Jerry, for years I've warned that if they take biblical morality and transform it into a form of bigotry like racism, then they can use the law to silence people and to punish them for holding views that they don't particularly like. And we see that happening every day. It's funny is they have overreached so badly, though, with the transgender issue.
Yeah.
Because they're insisting we openly lie about people. And I think Jennifer Roback Morse put it best. She said, any government that can force you to say that Bruce Jenner is a woman can force you to do anything. See, this is far more than about just bias. It's far more than about sexual issues or even basic morality. It's about power. It's about the ability of the ruling elite culture as represented by the ruling elite media and the government, the current government, forcing its views on us and saying, if you don't go along, we're going to punish you in a big way. And you know, when we saw the radicalization and politicization of the nation's intelligence agencies, that was a wake-up call for a lot of people when they realized the FBI was in on the Clinton cover-up and the whole Russian collusion thing, and the National Security Agency and the CIA had left-wing people at the top weaponizing it. I think people realized just how important alternative media is. I mean, there are so many things you and I have learned because we go and get a variety of sources. If you just stick with the main legacy media, you're going to be very ignorant. You're just going to be fed a narrative that's based on lies. It's that bad. And I say that having been a member of the legacy media for years as an editor at the Los Angeles Times. And while I was at the Times, and I was there 7 years, I saw a change in the coverage from merely liberal to a new crop of young reporters coming in determined to use the newspaper as their platform for pushing radical views. And I'm afraid they intimidated the editors who didn't disagree with them a whole lot. And now we don't have people in the newsroom who are saying, now, wait a minute, what's the other side to this story? You just don't even have that anymore.
Well, let's take the example of the transgender swimmer who's doing really well in the Ivy League, you know, competitions and so forth as a woman. But when he was a male swimmer, he was ranked 400 something, but now he's number one, because he's, again, identifying as a woman. He's a male, but competing against women. It really kind of, it's unfair. It sort of undermines the whole point of women's sports. But if you say such things, then you're a bigot and you don't believe the science, supposedly. And it's just absurd. The emperor has no clothes. But your comments.
Yeah, they've commandeered science and said that biology is no longer important. It's only what's in your head, what you think, and what you're willing to accept. And that's very dangerous, because they're saying opinions can now substitute for science. You know, the same people that say follow the science tell us to ignore it when it comes to sexuality. They're entirely hypocritical. I think they know they're being hypocritical, but I think their attitude now is, yeah, but we have the power. We can force it on everybody. Look what's happened with the truck convoy in Canada. Just the overreach by the Canadian government, and the Justin Trudeau acting like a communist dictator, saying we're going after you, we're going after your finances, we're going after your dog. They threatened to take their pets away, and I heard one report that they said that if you don't disperse in Ottawa, that we're going to track down and find your children, because we'll deem you unfit to be a parent. And I think that's when the truckers said, you know, we've made our point, we better go home. And I think that was a good call on their part. But we've never seen such totalitarianism rear its ugly head on the North American continent like we saw in Canada.
And this is really very disturbing. I mean, obviously, it's so totalitarian. But let's talk about the January 6th riot, or the, you know, the people taking selfies and so forth, which they called, you know, over and over, they called it an insurrection, you know, an armed insurrection. Well, nobody, I don't think anybody's called it an armed insurrection, because it wasn't armed. But let's contrast that with the Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots and so forth that happened in 2020. It's almost like a microcosm. And in fact, your article points out the double standard. It's sickening, this double standard.
Yeah, the media have no interest in seeing any justice done with all the perpetrators of those riots, the BLM / Antifa riots that caused $2 billion in damage. And there are varying reports of how many people were actually killed, at least 40. I've seen up to over 50. Hundreds of police officers wounded, property destroyed, whole city blocks destroyed. The Democrats don't care. All they're fixated on is the January 6th riot. And Jerry, I just happened to talk today to someone who was there the whole time. He attended the rally. He went to the Capitol. He did not enter the Capitol because he saw things starting to get violent. But he has a different tale than from what the media have told. He said there were Antifa people there, clearly. They weren't with the pro-Trump people. They were stirring up trouble, and some of the pro-Trump people tried to stop them. He said he saw one window being broken by a guy who was wearing a MAGA hat as part of his false flag, and that a couple Trump supporters grabbed him and threw him to the ground and said, cut it out. And the crowd there started yelling, stop it, to the handful of people who were starting to use violence against the Capitol building. This is – he also said that at one point he
withdrew. We have about 30 seconds left. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. He said the police just mysteriously withdrew and invited people in. That is not a myth. That is an eyewitness account. And he said that people walked in thinking, well, it's okay for us to walk in and make our views known. And, of course, now many of them are languishing in jail, still haven't come to trial more than a year later. This is not what George Washington foresaw as a free republic with people voicing their opinions.
Wow. Bob Knight, thank you so much. We'll have a link to your fascinating article here in our post. Thank you for being with us. All the best.
Oh, thank you, Jerry.